powerful week. So excited. These are what I cut my teeth in ministry on missions and leading mission groups. And so this is a joy for me and my wife, and really for the leadership. All of the leadership has just caught the heart of missions in this house. And that's rare, by the way. And I love that. We love to connect with other cultures, other communities, and really, really see what God can do, not only through us, in us, but then from us, from in the hearts of others. And so I just want you to know you will be blessed. I want to encourage you right now that I already know. Just anticipate the presence of God, anticipate the voice of God in your own life. And as you hear the voice of God this week, pray those things. Pray what you're hearing back to God. And so I want to get us into this series that we're in, Out of the Box, because we talked about last week, we need to get out of the box of our mind, this box right here. And I want to encourage you now also, not only to get outside of this box, because so many of us have been bound into the church box where Christianity and my life, my faith is really based about me going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if pastor ever calls us in for a prayer meeting, or we have choir practice. And so other than that, my Christianity is not very effective outside in the community or in the world in general or where I go on occasion. But I'm telling you, we need to break outside of that old mold and that model where we are the light of the world. We are the body of Christ. And we have much responsibility to steward what God has given us. We talked in our Metamorphosis series about discover, develop. And we're talking about, in this series, deployed. I really want to separate the two, even though this is part of the transformation that God has for every person. Many of us, if you didn't hear the series, you got to go back and listen to it. It's our Metamorphosis series. You can see it on YouTube or Facebook. And so you got to capture this heart of, you may have been in the church for 30 years, but you may still be in metamorphosis. Great conversations. You may have gone through a metamorphosis at some point in your life, but because we have an eternal life, God may take you through another metamorphosis to transform you even more, because God goes from faith to faith, glory to glory. And so God will transform you enough to get you into another season of life or into something he has for that season of life. But because God sees the end from the beginning, that he always has more for you and I. And so he may invite you into another transformation process because he has more in a different season of life, using your experiences, your wisdom, some past things that he's set you free from or setting you free from. So this series is Out of the Box, and today we're talking about being deployed. Deployed. Last week was deploy. You gotta deploy out of this old box and old mindset. But today, we have to understand, as the body of Christ, we are in the Lord's army. And we have been grafted into something that is extremely powerful and great and depended upon by the rest of the world. And that's the blood of Jesus. That's Jesus himself. That's the body of Christ. So we have to capture this understanding, this heart, that we have been deployed. God called me. Scripture, we go through the message last week. You'll see you've been called, you've been sent, you have a ministry on your life, and all of us have the ministry of reconciliation, meaning God has empowered us through Christ. Christ left us the Holy Spirit. Christ says it's important, it's expedient, in fact, that I go. He is with the Father. He's leaving. He has sent the Holy Spirit for you and I to do life with, to be comforted whenever I need comfort, to be led and guided into all truth, but also to be empowered from God the Father from on high. And so the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to empower us. God has called us. He has given us a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? For the good work which God created beforehand. Okay, so I have a calling, I have a purpose. I don't know what that is. Through intimacy with Jesus, I discovered that. The Holy Spirit is here to lead me towards that. He empowers me, he leads me, but then also he gives me these fun little things called gifts. He gives me gifts, tools for the work in which he's created me for. So he didn't leave us without what we needed. He didn't leave us without resources. In fact, as if you're in Christ, you have all the resources you possibly could need for this specific season of life. The requirement for us, though, is to steward well what we have been given now, so that the promise is that he gives us more. He always gives more to those who steward well what has already been given. Now, I'll show you that in the end of the script, end of the message today. But I want to emphasize something, starting out with 1 Samuel. Samuel was the last of the judges. He was a prophet also. A prophet would hear from God. A judge would be somebody who rose up, or God had set apart to rise up to cry out for the people, because it seems like every time a generation of people loved the Lord, the generation that came under them no longer served the Lord because they didn't understand the trials, the battles, the wars. They didn't see God winning wars before them. They didn't see God working in their lives like they did, like he did for their fathers and mothers. And so they would go away, go astray, and go in, you know, in doing a demonic, really godless activity. And then somebody would rise up and cry out for the people, cry out to God, and God would raise up another deliverer. It was almost like every 40 years that they go into captivity, or they go into bondage for 40 years, and then somebody would be fed up with it. Now, I feel like we're in the season where somebody needs to be fed up with it. There needs to be a voice that's crying out of this wilderness, crying out for the people of God, saying, I've had enough. There is enough. There's been enough of it. And this day, Samuel was the prophet, the last judge. And unfortunately, the people of Israel were calling out and crying out that they wanted a king. They wanted a king so that they could be like all the other nations. They wanted to be like the rest of the world. They were confused on who they were and what their purpose was, because God called them to be unique, and influence the world from their uniqueness. That's why he always gave them a prophet. He gave them a voice. He always spoke to them from men of God in that day. But they were adamant. They wanted a king so that they could be like everyone else. It hurt Samuel's heart, but he was a man of God, so he took it to God. God said, give them what they want. Tell them how that's going to feel and what the king is going to do to their families and to their land and everything else. So he goes back, he delivers the message, and they're like, I don't care. They were so blinded by the king that they wanted, they couldn't hear any of the results of what their decisions would be. And I can tell you, that's the world we live in right now. So blinded by what we want that we don't understand the results. We don't see the results or the outcome that's at hand. And I know this is election season, and it's hot and it's heavy and it's tense. And it is a very, very important election, as they all are. But I feel like in some ways, the body of Christ even and the world is calling out for a king. Who's going to lead us into righteousness? Who is going to make these decisions so that the fruit of what's happening in the world right now are no longer happening? And I want to subject to you that the abortion craze, the LGBTQ, the public shootings, and the addiction issues, those are not the problems. And we're looking to kings, or for a king to elect, so that we can have somebody that'll solve these problems. But God did not design the voting booth to be the light of the world. God called you to be the light of the world. God sent his son, Jesus, who was the light of the world. And Jesus, before he left, he says, now you, if you're in Christ, you are the light of the world. You, a light of the world, is what guides the world towards righteousness, towards right standing with God. And from that, symptoms that we complain about, that we're trying to find a king to change, those symptoms go away because the body of Christ raises up and figures out who she is, identity and purpose. You got to get this, because we're asking for a king. Now let me hear me very clearly. God already has a heart for the right person to be in place for this season. So we have a responsibility to steward our voice, and we've been given a vote to voice our thoughts, our heart, but we sure better take that serious to the point where we get on our knees before the Lord, cry out and say, which candidate do you choose to be in office? Lord, we pray for that candidate to win and we cast our vote for that candidate to win. To not vote is to dishonor the voice that God has given you in this world, in this community, in this state, in this country. That is a blessing, and it is a blessing to steward well if you get that blessing and opportunity. So we can't look to the king. We can't look to a king to be elected to make all these changes, because we have the king. We have the king who already has a heart for all of these symptoms, the fruit of the issues, to take place. And when there's a vacuum in an area of the world, when there's a black hole in the area of the world, there will be these symptoms. So we address it by being the light of the world. We address it by each individual body, each individual member starting to rise up, become who God has created you to be, utilizing the gifts that he has given you, being empowered through intimacy with the Holy Spirit to make decisions from the Lord and to implement those decisions in which cause result into the world in which you have influence on a week-to-week and a daily basis. That's how this works. That's how it fleshes out. That is being the body of Christ. I want to show you this in 1 Samuel. Then Samuel said, they cried out, they had gone astray, they had the king, Saul was leading them, and now the people are sitting here crying out. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear, you've done all this wickedness. Like, they wanted a king so that they wouldn't have to follow the Lord. Like, I don't want to have to be good and walk with the Lord and change what I do. I want to be able to do anything I'd want in the world. We just have a king who takes care of that. You ever try to push your faith and your problems of your faith and your life on somebody else? Must be my spouse. Must be the mayor. It's the president's issue. Let's get so focused on the president or the non-president or the one who needs to go into election so I can avoid my responsibility of stewarding my faith well. Surely it's somebody else's fault, right? No, not here, not in this room. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. Listen, all throughout Scripture you'll see, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Don't turn aside. You slipped up. You started following your own ways. Like, don't stop following the Lord. Get back into following the Lord. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. And this is what happens sometimes when our walk with the Lord gets a little bit too difficult. You know, it shouldn't be that hard. I should always be happy. It should never be discomforting. I should never be uncomfortable. You chose the wrong Lord. Because everything is uncomfortable. Everything changes. Everything becomes a lack of comfort at some point. And so what happens is, when we don't understand that, we tend to go find ourselves doing other things that are duties in the doings rather than just the being, which calls other things to come from us and out of us that reflect the heart of the Lord. And so what we do is, I'm doing the duty. I'm doing the thing. That's where religion comes from, by the way. I'm showing up and I'm doing and I'm doing and I'm doing. But God says, I just want you to be with me. And from the being, all the stuff starts to come from there. And so we will tend to go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver. You know what? We find ourselves in career rather than calling. We find ourselves in other spaces rather than the places that God has called us into. We go trying to make something happen when God has already caused something to happen for us. The only issue is, there's got to be some death, some changing right in here. And for the Lord will not forsake his people, for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you. It has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Man, I don't know what anybody's ever said over you, but you have to know that as a fact, as a discipline, as a truth. You please the Lord. You mean, in all my sin and my going astray, you still are pleasing to the Lord in and of yourself because you're a child. He's calling you back to the straight and narrow path, however. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. No idea. So we're going to miss, I don't know. We're having technical difficulties here. All right. So how do we then, if God is all about, and every issue is about us not understanding who we are, then how do we step into our identity and purpose? How do we do that? I'm going to give you a little five-step program today. We're going to look at Romans 12, 1 through 8. And number one is dedicate my body. I've got to dedicate my body. It's literally, my body is no longer mine. It is yours, Lord. I belong to you. All of this and all its goodness belongs to you, Lord. I am no longer my own. These are scriptures. I'm no longer my own, but I am yours. And so I have to position my mind and my heart to be at that place so I'm actually living a sacrificial life. Verse 1 of Romans 12 says, I urge you to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. So you offering your life to Christ as a return and a response to Christ offering his life for you is saying, man, I'm not my own. Today, Lord, not my will, not my desires, not my ambitions, not my thoughts, but your thoughts. I am offering myself. I worship him. Our spiritual work, one of the ways we worship God is by saying, I am not mine. I am completely yours. Whatever you want to do with my mind and my body today, I am here to serve you. I'm here to hand my life over. Let me just tell you, your daily prayers begin to shift. Lord, I'm offering you today my life. What is it that you want to take hold of in my thoughts, my attitudes, my behaviors, how I handle situations, how I handle people, the decisions I make? Lord, who do I need to forgive today that I still have residue from yesterday? Lord, who do I need to ask for forgiveness from? Lord, what is it that you would like for me to do? Here's what I need to do, but what would you like for me to do? Becoming a living sacrifice. Prayers shift from here's what I need to do, Lord, let's do this, to Lord, what is it that you want to do through all of the things that are going on today or this week or this month or in this next season of life? Lord, what is it that you want me to say yes to? What is it you want me to say no to? I am offering myself as that sacrifice to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Number two is this. I need to eliminate competing distractions. So I'm laying my life down, and now I'm eliminating competing distraction. And what is it that is competing with your attention? What is competing for your attention? This week, we had a little staff chapel, and with the staff, I just kind of reminded them, I was talking to them about a lot of the things that God did through a stage or a season of my transformation, my metamorphosis. And a lot of it had to do with overcoming my shame, my grief, my personal condemnation on myself, my guilt that I was carrying, the pride that was keeping me from humbling myself before the Lord. It came with a lot of tears, years of tears on my face and in front of an altar, a place like this, a lot of prayer receiving, learning to give back whatever has been given to me through others around me, loving me, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of saying no to what I really wanted to say yes to, a lot of hand placing things on the plate of my life before Jesus and saying what belongs and what doesn't belong. We literally got out note cards and said, let's take a self-assessment. What is it that God wants to take away from your life? It was good for a season, or it allowed, he allowed it to this point in your life, but it won't allow you to go to the next point of your life. You ever done that? There's some things that you think right now, man, I can keep doing that. I feel like there's a voice telling me to stop, but I can keep doing it because it's gotten me here so far. That's called old manna. But if he's talking about it and he's identifying it and he's even suggesting anything, it should be a loud voice saying, I have to lay that down for whatever it is he has for me in the next season. If you feel like you've plateaued in an area or of your faith, it's a time to seek him and say, Lord, what is it that I need to lay down for this next season of life? If you feel like, wait, the weight of the world is pressuring in on you and people just aren't working with you or things aren't working out in relationships, those are indicators that say it's time to lay some things down in your own life. These are all signs that say it's time to die a little bit more. You're not dead enough. There's too much of your flesh alive. When you want to buck up at somebody, it's just, let me go ahead and start writing stuff down, because the moment I buck up, I probably should be going low. These are the things that keep you from your destiny, keep you from walking out the fullness of what God has called you to do. Nobody else. Because you literally are being resisted by God himself. He resists the proud, and the proud won't lay their lives down. So I've got to eliminate competing distractions. What's taking my mind? What's taking up thoughts? What's taking up my attention? What's taking up my feelings? What's driving my emotions? What am I running from? What am I trying to cause for my life that may not be God's will for my life? You ever thought about what you're running from in life? What you're trying to avoid? What are you really? Don't make an excuse that's external. What are you really not trying to address? What are you really not wanting to deal with? And so you cover it up by blaming something or someone outside of your internal self. Those are eliminating. Those are distractions. Those are competing distractions. Scripture says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed from all those things. And in order to have a renewed mind that's transformed, I've got to create margin. I've got to stop doing busy work, because busyness is not productivity. And me being effective for the Lord requires me to be a little bit less busy and more present, creating margin so I can hear from the Lord, so I can be transformed and my mind be renewed for the purposes and the calling and the direction and the places he's called and given me influence in. Yeah, but I've always done it this way and it's worked out. Old manna. Yeah, but this is just the way, old manna. And no one can live off old manna. No one can thrive off old manna. You may be able to sustain, but it won't feel like your life is life-giving and full of joy with old manna. Step three, evaluate my strengths. What are my strengths? God's given you so many strengths. God has given you a lot of strengths, by the way. You are strong in the Lord. You've got a lot of strengths in the Lord. If it's nothing but the blood of Jesus and the power that comes with it, that's a great place to start. You have a lot of strengths in the Lord. There's some things that you've learned along the way. Great, those are talents. There's some abilities that God has already gifted you. There's giftings that you may notice that you operate out of. Man, those, when you use those things, and you subject those things to the hands of the wisdom of the Lord, those are strengths. You can do those things like no one else can, or at least no one else in the environment God has set you in place in. It's a strength. Verse 3 said, don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith God has given you. Man, don't think of yourself so great that you can't do humble things, low duties. And don't think that you're unworthy or inadequate to do the very things that God has already given you strengths to accomplish. He has given you strengths. Now, step four is this, cooperate with other believers. Oh man, I don't like other people. You what? What? Yeah. This may be a part of the plateau issue. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting any traction. I blame the place that I'm in. I blame the people around me. I blame other circumstances. But it may be the simple fact that I have to recognize there's things that I don't like about cooperating with other believers or other people that points with loud signs back to me that says I may need to work on some forgiveness. I may need to grow in the area of forgiveness. I may need to grow in the area of mercy and grace and humility. I may need to grow in these areas. It may be the fact that I haven't grown in those areas is the reason I can't cooperate with other believers. So it may be the issues you have with other believers are pointing to really a spiritual issue, a maturity issue that you are currently dealing with. And God is saying, hey, would you lay those down on the altar of sacrifice? Would you lay that part of your life down? And by the way, when you're making that long list of competing distractions and the things that are stealing your thoughts away, things that you're trying to go after or things that you're dealing with that are keeping you from intimacy with the Lord, when you're done writing that list, give it to your spouse and give them an opportunity to add to that list. Can I help you with that list, honey? Can I bless you with a little bit more wisdom? You know, that's called a blind spot. And we all have a blind spot. Every one of us, I have a blind spot. There's some things that I can't figure out. I don't know why that keeps happening. Somebody else, my wife would be over there. Boy, I could tell you. You need some people like that in your life. And that people like that that you're willing to listen to. You may get mad. It may offend you for a moment. But the fact that it offends you and the fact that you understand I'm a part of a body that needs to be with other believers should point to, ooh, I have some offense and some unforgiveness in my heart. I've got some areas to grow in mercy. I've got some areas to grow in grace and helps and humility. These are the things that God wants to transform and metamorphosize so that you can fully walk and function as the individual that God has created and went to the cross for you to become. And it takes a death to self, not a rising up of pride and ego and how great I am. In fact, the lower you go, the more he raises you up. The lower you go, the less effort it becomes. The lower you go, the easier it gets. But I got to learn how to cooperate with other believers. So if I can't cooperate with other believers, it's a sign I need to grow. He says in this, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, you got to ask if you believe that or not. You've got to ask if you believe that that's truth or not. Remember, Paul talks about the body parts. In 1 Corinthians, we are all one body. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really, so if you think you're unworthy or inadequate, really, you may not realize how important God actually says you are. And how much so God put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that might otherwise. So if you feel like you're less important, man, guys, there's more honor that even needs to be there. There should be so much honor in the body of Christ, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And when we can't give honor where honor is due, then it doesn't point to the other people. You know, the body being separated as it is was actually a sign during Old Testament times. It was a sign that you've been conquered. So when kings would go out to war and another king would conquer that nation, they would cut up the king, dismember the king, and then send him all over the nations which that king formerly had a reign over. It was a sign that says, you're dominated, you're defeated, you're going to have a new king, and I'm going to be it. And when we stay separated and dismembered from one another, we stand defeated. And we're looking to elect a king to make change because the king of this world is fooling us, has dismembered us, and is causing us to believe lies, to be separate from one another. And we've forgotten we have the one true king who has all the grace, all the mighty, and all the power. And when he puts us back together and we submit to his will rather than our own, and we truly become living sacrifices as spiritual worship, then we will rise up and we will be who we're called to be. We will walk in our identity. We will fulfill our purpose. And the symptoms of life in this world will begin to change. So we have to come together as the body of Christ. Number five, step five is activate my gifts. I have to activate my gifts. Like I'm responsible. You're responsible. As you go on a gift discovery, man, you're responsible to develop those gifts. Like a couple of weeks ago, we did a spiritual gifts test. Anybody in here took that spiritual gifts test? Pretty cool, huh? Pretty fun. Like, oh, okay, I didn't, you know. Some of you are like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know I functioned like that or operated that. And then the more you thought about it, you're like, oh, well, actually, I think I do. And some of those, you're like, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Or somebody looked at yours like, oh, yeah, I can see that all over you. And the more you start to develop those, going a further discovery of learning about how God uses those in your life, the more encouraged you get because you realize God has given you those tools for this life. He's given you those tools and the empowerment to use those, but he's also given you the responsibility to learn how to implement those, how to function from those, how to function with those, and how to impart his will into any area of life that he's called you and he guides your feet into. That's our responsibility. So I have to activate my gifts. He empowers them. I use them. I get to use them, but they belong to him. I get to function with him when I use my gifts, and I get to see the kingdom of God come to earth, and I get to see people experience God when I use my gifts who are empowered by his presence. This is good news. This is a lot of fun. Life becomes fun. Life becomes full of joy. I become who I am created to be. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, we have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If prophecy, if serving, if teaching, encouraging, contributing or giving, leadership, showing mercy. These are gifts that are unique. These are just some of the gifts, by the way. Corinthians is loaded with them. In fact, the Bible all throughout is just loaded with gifts. You'll see in the Old Testament, craftsmanship. But God is passionate about stewardship. I have to activate it. Anything that God has given you, he gives you in little part. And it may feel like, yeah, I got that gift, but I don't really function well. It doesn't really work well in my life. You know, I don't, because we haven't sought him through intimacy so that we can learn how to function in these gifts in moments throughout our day, which requires us to live as sacrifices so that we hear him throughout our day to utilize the gifts to impart what he wants to impart by his will into any area of life that we're going into. Now, so in both finances and gifts and prophecy, if serving, if teaching, then if I understand that's my gift, I need to practice it. I need to learn more about it. I need to go and just try. Yes, it's like my son, he's five. He just came off the training wheels of his bicycle. Had the bicycle for a long time. Finally, here he is. He woke up one day and he said, Daddy, take the training wheels off. That's my boy. Let's go. And he rode his little bike without falling down. This is us. We have training wheels. We're like, oh, you know, God really doesn't bless me that much. No. You have all the power of Jesus Christ flowing through your veins, but you have a responsibility to steward no matter how big or great or small what he's given you. You have a responsibility to steward that greatness. Until you hear this truth in Matthew 5:25, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. This is all about stewardship. How well are you taking care of what you think is unimportant? If we look at scripture, in fact, it says, in fact, you that is important. You are important. You think you're less. No, you deserve more honor. And it requires a little work. It requires some sacrifice. It requires laying down. But I can tell you right now, if you steward what God, whatever it is, whatever portion God has for you, it doesn't say that portion. It's a promise. It will grow. If you've been trusted, if you've been a good steward and faithful with little things, he will give you more. Stop fighting for the big things. Stop grumbling because you don't have the big things. Stop bickering and biting and because you don't have the more when the path to the more is stewarding the little that you do have. John 15, 8 and 11 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Showing yourselves to be his disciples. And by the way, bearing means I'm just holding it. It's his fruit. He causes it to happen when we walk according to his will, using the gifts that he's given us with the empowerment that he's provided. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. Does somebody need some joy today? I mean, if somebody needs some joy today, it may be time to start fulfilling the will of God on your life. It may require some laying down of life. Let me just get my little journal out. Here you go, spouse. Will you add to that? What is it that I need to do? Who do I need to forgive? How do I need to walk differently? And not only that, but what do I need to discover in deploying the gifts that he's given me? Man, I tell you, let me give you a little insight. Here's my gifts right here: faith, craftsmanship, giving, wisdom, apostleship. I took this same thing with y'all just because they refreshed. Depending on seasons of life, some will start popping up. This is like a gift mix, a gift cluster is what we would use this and call this. But I use faith every day in everything. Like when I feel like God has given me a message series, I start working towards that message series. When I feel like God has given my family a direction, I start going in that direction. You know what my wife says? How's that going to work out? I don't know that. How are we going to do that? I don't know, but I know this is what the Lord says. And I can feel it with every fiber in my being. As leading the church, this is what I do. I use my faith. If God is showing it to me, I'm trusting him with the fulfillment of it. My kids, I lead them with faith. Craftsmanship, I love to build. I love to build things. I love to work on things. I love to build people. I love to build places. I love to build church. I love to build whatever it is. I love it because I'm using my gifts. Giving, I love to give. I look for opportunities to give. In fact, I look for ways to create business so that I can give financially even more, or give opportunity even more. And giving is not just financial, by the way. Giving is also, I need to give mercy. So you see the why I need to learn how to work with other believers? If I have something in me that doesn't like other believers or other people, I can't give mercy. Give help. Give advice. Give away the influence that I've worked hard to gather and to collect, knowing that it points back to me if the person that I gave credit for doesn't work out, but I'm giving it away anyway. I'm trusting God with it. To give my time, give my emotions. Because let me tell you, when you walk into ministry and doing life and giving away, a lot of emotions come with it. And usually people don't care about your emotions as much as they are what they're getting. And so you have to become all the more generous. You got to live all the more by faith. In apostleship, I love to see things, a need for things that need to be better or can be better, how structure needs to be put in a place for something that's broken. I love to see the culture of God be implemented into an area. And by the way, that's what it is. It's implementing the systems and the structures of God, of his kingdom here on earth, so that God's people can experience heaven on earth on a routine basis. Wisdom, man, I'm always thinking about, if I make one decision, how many different people and circumstances and situations does that affect? What has happened in the past? But God, what are you saying? Applying faith back into it. And all these circle around one another to move my life forward. And I'd use them as markers to navigate what I'm going to do next, what my family's going to do next, in any genre of life, what's happening next. And I feel like in using these gifts, God imparts his will into society and into the community. And I think God has way more gifts in this house than that are being used. And I don't mean just in this house. I do mean in this house, but I also mean in our community. And going, I can tell you right now, we need more people who are God-fearing and want to see the kingdom of God here on earth in our city councils, on our school boards, and all these schools. We have a strategic place by the setting. There's many school boards around here, many schools, many communities, and we could heavily, positively affect the generations that come after us by just being on the school board. Some of you are missionaries who are called into new cities around here to get on the city councils, to get on the school boards, to get on the various boards that have influence in society, so you can be a God-fearing, God-loving voice in those spaces to implement the will of God by using your giftedness, your abilities, your strengths, and the empowerment of God and nearness with his voice to impart the will of God into every genre of life. Yeah, that's everybody should be clapping right now. I want to encourage you guys to start going to the city council meeting, start going to the zoning and planning meeting, start going to some board meetings that you get available to, and you listen to the voice of God and see, Spirit of God, would you like me to be a part of this thing right here? Would you like me to implement change? Be a part of some boards and some committees that may have influence in this community. I'm telling you right now, if we're not going to do that, we can't complain about the byproduct and the symptoms and the fruit of this world, and we can't go looking for a king to make the change. All right, I've said enough. I think I've stirred enough in you. And let me just tell you, I'm telling you there's some people that are called into the mission field right here in this community. And you do have a voice, and you can do the very things that you're saying to yourself you can't do. And if there's a voice inside of you that's saying you can't do it, in fact, I'm going to declare that that's the enemy of this world and the enemy of your soul. And then God is saying the exact opposite. God is saying that you can, if it's even on your heart to do, it's probably the will of God to fulfill. And yes, it comes with some tears. Yes, it comes with some pain. Yes, it comes with more laying down. Yes, it comes with some sleepless nights. Yes, it comes with some financial stressing. Yes, it comes with some relational stressing. Yes, it comes with all of that. But that is how growing in the Lord and growing in any area of life happens. So we can't run to our comfort zones. We can't say, God just wants me to be happy. We can't just say, if it's uncomfortable, it must not be God. In fact, it's probably the opposite. So I just want to leave you empowered today, encouraged, because you guys have more strength, more potential, more capabilities, and more in you than you can ever imagine. And I'm hoping this week you'll start stirring up the gifts inside of you, start pursuing the Lord, and say, Lord, what do you say? Who do I need to forgive? What do I need to lay down? What is my distracting thoughts that are causing me to run from the calling of that you have on my life? What do I need to activate these gifts? How do I do this thing, Lord? And I'm going to pray that right now. Holy Spirit, we just ask you stir up gifts in this room. Lord, I pray that you've identified some things, and I pray that your people will have the courage and the stewardship and the confidence and the boldness to seek you, to take some time, to make some notes from their heart, to make some notes from your voice, to be stirred up in the Spirit for things ahead. Lord, to answer the call of missions right here in this community and the surrounding communities. Father, I pray that the world changers in this place start to rise up, and those who are identifying their gifts start to use them to edify the body inside of the church and outside of the church. Father, I pray that you move so mightily that their will, your will, just transforms their will. Your will dominates their will. That you lead them into laying down their lives for another level of your presence inside of them. And I just pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get a good amen? Come on, somebody. Let's stand up.